I'd like to start my reflection this morning by asking a question. Now, this is not a rhetorical question. I want you to really think of an answer to this question, but I'm not going to call on people to ask them to share it. But you do have to think of an answer. And my question this morning is, why do you go to Mass? Maybe you could put a finer point on it. Why am I here this morning? As a side note, it's a great joy for me to see so many people here at Mass this morning. I don't think that Dr. Fauci would be very happy with us this morning, but he doesn't matter to me. Jesus does, and I think that Jesus is very pleased. But why do you go to Mass? There are a number of reasons why people may go to Mass, and there are varying degrees of perfection, I suppose you could say, in regards to the reasons that you go to Mass. Now, some people who are here at Mass this morning, their answer might be, because mom and dad brought me. Good, good. Parents helping form their children. Great, good answer. Hopefully not the only answer that one would ever have in their lifetime, but it's not a bad answer. Some people may say, well, I'm home visiting my mother for Mother's Day, and I wanted to go to Mass with her so that she doesn't realize that I don't go to Mass when I'm not at home. Well, let's think about that one for just a second. Maybe not the best answer, but think about the love that a child has for their mother to not disappoint their mother on Mother's Day to come to Mass. So if that's why you're here this morning, I can work with that. That's heading in the right direction. Maybe the answer is it's a habit. I really didn't think about it much this morning. I don't know what my answer is to that question. It's just Sunday morning, I get up and I go to Mass. Good. Maybe not the best answer, but good. We need habits in our life. We need habits that form certain anchor points throughout our day and week that give us some sort of form and order to what we do. And the Mass can serve as a great anchor point in our life. I know that I struggled a bit during the time when we weren't able to have public Mass because my whole schedule seemed to be in flux, and there were parts of this that I really didn't like, losing that anchor point. I was okay with losing the 7 a.m. Mass on Sunday, but the 10:30 felt a little bit weird. We need those anchor points. Maybe the reason why you're here at Mass this morning is that you have come here because you want to worship God. And the praise and worship of Jesus is an important part of our life. And in fact, it is one of the commandments to place God first. And even St. Thomas says that even for those who are not even Christian, but noble pagans, still are bound by natural law to the worship of God. So that's a good answer. I'm going to loop back to that in just a second, but I want to draw your attention to one of the lines in the second reading from the first letter of St. John. And this line is an easy line for us to sort of read over and not pause and think about it. But I would propose to you that this line, this simple even part of a sentence, has the capacity to completely change the way that we think about our spiritual life and our relationship with Jesus. The sentence in its entirety reads, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins." Within that sentence, I want to focus your attention on one phrase. And some translations add an extra word in it that isn't in this translation. But I'm going to use that extra word because I think it even calls more attention to what St. John is trying to say. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us first. I think that this is one of the most important lines from Scripture. Because in a very clear way, it sets up our relationship with Christ. I don't know if you've ever struggled with this in your life. I have. And I would imagine that this is a fairly common struggle for a lot of people in their spiritual life. And if you don't struggle with this, great. But if you do, I'm very sympathetic to it. There are times in my spiritual life when I begin to think, if I loved God more, then he would be more pleased with me. He would love me more. Now, that's a very clear way of saying it, but it oftentimes happens in our spiritual life in much more subtle ways. I could experience God's love more if I avoided sin better. If I worked harder at loving God, I would understand this relationship with him more. There's all kinds of, almost an infinite possibility of ways in which we could say that principle. But I would propose to you that that's not really the way that we should be looking at it. God doesn't love us more or less depending on how we behave. God's love is perfect and God doesn't change. So his love is perfect. Now this is really hard for us to understand, because even in the best of cases in this world, we're still affected by original sin and the weakness and woundedness of this world. So even if we look at the relationships in our life where we feel like we have experienced the most glorious expressions of love, when we look at our parents or grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, friends, spouses, and we can look at those moments in our life and say, I understood love because of this person in my life. Well, an aspect of love, to be sure, but all forms of love in this world pale in comparison to the love that God has for us. And on our own, we can't understand what that love is until we realize that God has given us that perfect love, that transformative love, that life-changing love, that radical love that he has for us comes to us first. Even the fact that you have come to Mass this morning has been in response to a grace that God has given you. God's love is perfect. It doesn't change. You see, when we look at our spiritual and moral life, and we look at it as what I have done to try to earn God's love, we're missing the point. God has loved us first. That's what St. John's saying. Our response to that love is to live in that relationship. And part of living in that relationship is the transformative power of God's mercy. That on our own, we can't overcome all our sins. And on our own, we can't understand true and perfect love. But it is by receiving God's love first, knowing what that perfect love is, experiencing that perfect love. Even though it's perfect, we may experience it imperfectly. But as we grow, it begins to become more transformative in our life. But knowing that God's perfect love has reached us first, and then our response to that is to love him in return. Now, having said all that, the question may be, well, what does this have to do with being here at Mass? Well, I was thinking about this line of St. John in relationship to Mass, and there's a lot of reasons why we might be here this morning. Some of them are great reasons, some of them are good reasons, and some of them are, well, okay, I'll work with that reason. Perhaps maybe even one of the reasons we're here at Mass is because we feel that missing Mass is a sin and we don't want to go to hell. That's not a bad reason to get here, but that's not really a perfect reason. So what is the perfect reason? I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say, because at first it might not sound really intuitive. And I run a risk saying it this way, but I think it's an interpretation of what St. John's saying that makes sense. As I reflect on this, as important as worship and praise of God is, there might even be one thing that's more foundational than that. You see, there's something that happens at Mass that does not happen anywhere else. There's something that happens at Mass that doesn't happen exactly in this way in any other sacrament, prayer service, personal prayer time, and even the sacrament of confession. There's one thing unique about Mass that sets our Sunday mornings apart from those who are even going to a Christian worship service. And that is that at Mass, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of institution, mere bread and wine are transformed, transubstantiated, the technical term, transformed into the very body and blood of Jesus. As important as praising and worshiping God is at Mass, and that is important, what we have to recognize is that Jesus comes to us. Maybe to rewrite St. John's sentence a little bit, it's not as much that we're here to praise and worship God, but that God in his love has come to us first. And therefore, our response to that is praise and worship and adoration. It places Jesus first as the reason of being here. All of the reasons to come to Mass have varying degrees of goodness to them. Some people say, I go to Mass on Sunday because I want to take something from the readings or the homily and carry that throughout the week. Great. But you see, there are very different times in our spiritual life where we can be at a spiritual peak and feel that prayer and worship comes easily, that we are in love with God, that all is right with the world. And coming to Mass can be easy in those times. But just as we might have times at the peak in our spiritual life, we might also have times in the trough. Times where we're struggling. Times where prayer is hard or maybe even virtually non-existent. Times when our own belief in God may be wavering. Does he listen? Does he care? Does he love? But you see, whether we're at the peak or the trough or somewhere in between, Jesus still comes to us at Mass. No matter what our reason for being here, Jesus becomes present on the altar of sacrifice. Whether our belief is fervent or weak, whether our spiritual life is vibrant or dull, whether our reason for being here is one of the best or so weak it barely got us through the door. In spite of all of that, not one of those things changes the fact that wherever we're at in a spiritual life, and whatever reason we are here at Mass this morning, our Lord himself becomes present on the altar. That Jesus' perfect love is made manifest in the Mass. Maybe, just maybe, if we can switch the emphasis a little bit from what I do when I go to Mass, from my prayers and the focus I have to what Jesus is doing for me at Mass, becoming truly present before me, truly present on the altar, his very physical presence, his body, his blood, his soul and divinity. If our focus can be primarily on that, then God's grace can carry us through those moments of peaks and troughs, of a strength in our will or a weakness in our will, a fervent belief or a struggle with despair, a focused, prayerful time at Mass or a distracted time wrestling children. Either way, God becomes present. As St. John says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he, Jesus, has loved us first.